It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday, June 2nd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, the head of the IRS will testify in front of a Senate Finance Committee about the security breach where 100,000 taxpayer records were stolen by hackers. Commissioner John Koskinen will surely be the target of some pointed questions from politicians. Beyond the spectacle, we will learn about how this particular arm of the government thinks about security and how some of that thinking should change. Zulfikar Ramzan is chief technology officer at the cybersecurity firm RSA.
The fact is that cybercriminals have amassed large dossiers of information about us, and that data could have been obtained from maybe a prior data breach, or it could be from information that was gleaned on my social media profile. But in either case, those traditional approaches are no longer sufficient for some of the challenges we're seeing today.
And part of that is kind of because of a cumulative effect that's happening here, where people are hacking places like Target and then getting little pieces of metadata that are then maybe used down the line to steal data from other organizations, perhaps including the IRS. How does all of this work, and is it something that we're seeing?
Absolutely. I think we're very much at the tip of the iceberg here. Success from a cyber criminal's point of view is really contagious. It often is the case that success breeds more success. Now that a cyber criminal has, let's say, my tax return, not only do they have my information, but now they have my spouse's information, my children's information, and so on and so forth. And so in many ways, every single one of these attacks leads to the next attack and make it much more powerful. So I think we're really seeing the beginning of a much more broad trend in this area.
Zulfikar Ramzan is CTO at RSA. Zulfikar, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Ben.
Facebook this week announced the kind of tool probably more familiar to cybersecurity geeks and investigative journalists than your average Facebook user. The social network will now support public encryption keys, meaning what exactly? Reporter Nova Safo explains.
Public encryption keys can be used to send a scrambled message that only a recipient can read. It's a highly secure form of communication and one rarely used by the general public. Heather West of the internet security firm Cloudflare says encryption keys on Facebook profiles can bring them into the mainstream.
Facebook's move means that there is a much broader audience of people who are thinking about end-to-end encryption.
Tech companies like that, law enforcement doesn't. Speaking at a public forum last month, Deputy Assistant Attorney General David Bidcour said encryption could thwart a search warrant.
That warrant effectively is no better than a piece of paper because the information cannot be accessed without the permission of the ultimate end possessor.
Many in Silicon Valley aren't swayed. Tim Lorden heads the nonpartisan Congressional Internet Caucus Advisory Committee.
A lot of companies in Silicon Valley feel like it is the only way that they can protect their customers from the NSA and from would-be hackers.
Lorden says Facebook's latest move is modest, but symbolically important. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Sections of the Patriot Act dealing with bulk surveillance expired at midnight on Monday morning. We called Cindy Cohen, executive director at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, to give us a preview of what will happen in Congress over the next few days and how it might change the way we conduct surveillance. We should mention before we start that the EFF is against much of the surveillance practices being conducted by U.S. agencies, so Cindy comes with a point of view. Hi, Cindy.
Hello.
Why do these particular parts of the Patriot Act, have they had sunset clauses in them?
Because Congress recognized that it was passing the Patriot Act at a time of, you know, intense crisis, and that it might be the case that some of the powers that were granted should just be temporary and shouldn't last forever.
So back then they said, well, this is kind of an extreme measure, but now is a time for extreme measures and we'll reconsider this later.
Correct. And there have been sunsets over the years that have been kicked out.
Can you play out the next few days here for me? What's going to happen next?
Well, in Congress, the next thing that's going to happen is Congress can actually vote on a proposed law called the USA Freedom Act. This bill has been passed through the House and is sitting in the Senate. Odds are that the Senate's going to pass that bill, and then that will be the law of the land. But there's a lot of things that could happen between now and then that may make a different outcome.
What's the most likely possibility that could create a different outcome?
Well, Senator McConnell has listed a bunch of amendments that he wants considered, all of which make the bill much worse. They're all making it worse, nothing making the bill better.
According to the Electronic Frontier Foundation, of course.
Right. And according to the majority of the American people who want to see the NSA reined in, they're all changes that give more power to the NSA. None of them give less power to the NSA.
Sure.
There are also a couple of amendments that have been lodged by Senator Wyden and Senator Paul that will rein in the NSA a little more. So from my perspective, those are better amendments. The thing that can get lost in all the minutiae is that what I'm hoping we're doing is we're kicking off a period where this idea that the government collects it all is being demonstrated to be, well, I think, you know, first it was demonstrated as being not very effective. It doesn't protect us against terrorists. Now we've got a court saying that it's not really legal. And now we've got Congress saying we don't want you to do it anymore. You know, it's easy to get bogged down in the minutia of this, but I think what this signals is this idea of a collect-it-all strategy is beginning to take pressure from, you know, a bunch of different sides.
Cindy Cohen is at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Cindy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we reported on rumors about the deal. Now it's official. The world's largest chipmaker, Intel, will be buying another semiconductor company, Altera, for $16.7 billion. If you want to know the reason for this acquisition, look to the growth in cloud computing. Intel wants a piece of the cloud computing business, and Altera makes chips for servers. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.